Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, if you know a little bit about the different personalities of people, you'll understand that I am of a very, very unusually high content of the sanguine personality. Okay? And you can study those personalities out. So this is not hard for me, this thing of being cheerful. This is something that comes very naturally. I'm just kind of a happy guy. And not everybody is that way. But this is not a personality trait that we're talking about. This is a characteristic. Okay, it's something that we all can develop. And so just like I said about some of the things that I'm not so good at in my personality, those are things that there are weaknesses that I need to work on and strengths I need to rely on, etc. And all of us have those things in our different personalities and the way that we are. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, we're just going to read a few verses here, verses 13 through 15. And I'll read and you can listen. And here in Proverbs chapter 15, beginning in verse 13, you may recognize this verse. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Then the Father, pray that you bless us tonight as we study the word of God and this characteristic of being cheerful. And Lord, it's something that we as believers must display on a daily basis. We must either naturally employ through the different personalities we have this characteristic of cheerfulness, or perhaps something we need to work on living and showing and feeling as we go throughout our lives each day because of who you are, because of salvation, because of the Word of God. This thing of cheerfulness needs to be in our lives on a daily basis. Now, Lord, pray that you bless and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, it is good to understand a word. And the word cheerful simply means expressive of good spirits or joy, lively or animated. Okay? So this is how we feel. In Proverbs 15, it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Okay, that's the proverb. And we understand the converse or the opposite, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I remember back in Genesis when Abel brought forth his offering, right? And God said it was accepted. Cain brought what he thought was a good offering, but he really knew it wasn't. But it was not accepted. And what did God say? Yeah, why is your countenance fallen? Well, because sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. But a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And so this thing of cheerfulness and being expressive of our good spirits or joy. Now, once again, we've talked about this before. If you will, we inherit joy through salvation. Okay? There is joy in being saved, having your sins forgiven, having an eternal home in heaven. The joy that is in Jesus Christ, we have that. We just need to express it. Okay? It's something we possess. We need to express it. We need to be lively or animated about it. You say, Brother Combs, this comes easily for you. I understand that. Okay? I just said that a minute ago. For some, I understand it comes a little easier. And I get that. All of us have strengths and weaknesses, but I'm hoping tonight that as we look through some of these verses in Scripture, we can develop this characteristic of being cheerful as believers. Let me tell you something.
Nobody wants to be a sourpuss. Well, almost nobody. I think there's some people out there, I'm convinced, that do want to be one. But who likes being miserable? Maybe some people do, but maybe then there's a couple screws loose in their head or something. But no, we should want to be cheerful, right? Want to show joy, be expressive of that. So we need to develop it. There are things that get in our way of being cheerful, right? Like a car accident, right? Or a bad, or some kind of misfortune or loss of a job or whatever. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. So can we have this characteristic of being cheerful all the time? We can. Is that hard to do? Yes, it is. Can we all agree that this is something we could, as a characteristic in our life, develop? Okay? And we can. We can get better at showing cheerfulness. Let's talk about this and look at this. How about just starting with a cheerful feeling? We'll start on the low end. Okay, how about we just start feeling cheerful? All right, we'll get to the expressive part in just a little bit, but if we can start with feeling cheerful, then maybe we can express being cheerful after that. So what makes us as a believer feel cheer? Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to search out some of these things. Because, it's hard to express something that you don't feel. Right? Everybody okay with that? All right, so Matthew chapter 9. Let's look here. Jesus is dealing with someone here in Matthew chapter 9. And I like what he says. It's very interesting. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man, sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. I'm healing you of your palsy. No, it does not say that. Okay? So does he say, Son, be of good cheer? All right, so he's saying, Son, be of good cheer. Why? Why should he be of good cheer? Why should he be cheerful? What is the reason that we can be cheerful? What is one of the things that we can be happy about or cheerful about or having a spirit of joy or liveliness or animation? Why? Was because he says, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's why. Hey, in the song book we sing, right? Praise God, my sins are gone. Yeah, that's something we can cheer about. Yay! Right? We can be excited about that. We can have a feeling of cheer because our sins have been forgiven. Jesus said, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He just met this man. He was on a bed, on a mat, sick of the palsy. He had this thing where he was he had this illness that he was paralyzed, couldn't move, things like that. And of course we know that the later on he says, behold, certain of the scribes within themselves saith this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? He says, for whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Son, be of good cheer, arise and walk. Wouldn't that have made him happy to get up and walk? Sure it would have. He's been laying on this mat. He's had this disease for who knows how long, maybe since birth. But all these things. But rather, Jesus didn't address his physical needs to give him cheer, but rather his spiritual need to give him cheer. Hey, folks, don't we have something to be cheerful about? The feeling of cheer comes from our sins being
forgiven. And of course he did say, arise, take up thy bed and go to thine house. And he arose and departed into his house. Yes. Yes, the physical needs are things that make us cheerful. But most importantly, our sins being forgiven. In Psalm 33:21, it says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Hey, I bet you that when Jesus said to the thief on the cross that he was now of good cheer because Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, yeah. Hey, his sins have been forgiven. Hey, the forgiveness of sins lifts all the burdens of life off of our shoulders. Can you remember back to the day that you got saved? It's like the weight of the world was lifted off of you. Because now you had hope in God. You've trusted in his holy name. Psalm 16:9 says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. There's just a cheerfulness about being born again, having our sins forgiven. Psalm 32:11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalm 64:10 says, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Psalm 40:16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You see an underlying feeling of gladness, of cheerfulness for those that have their sins forgiven, for those that have salvation in God. Do we have that or not? I mean, this is just a factual statement, right? You either have your sins forgiven or you don't. Yeah. So if we do, there should be that feeling of cheer. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Over in John 16 and verse 33, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So forgiveness of sins. But the second reason we should be of good cheer is we know who wins. Yeah. Hey, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Didn't he say in Matthew that he would never leave us nor forsake us? Yeah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What, folks, have you read the book? We win. Yeah. Isn't that a reason to cheer? Okay, yes, I'm using a different form of the word, but it's the same. It's an expression. And it comes from a feeling. I love sports just like anybody else and things like, well, maybe more than some other people. But when my team actually does something good for a change, that's how I feel, and Cowboys fans probably feel the same way. That excitement, that overwhelming, and we cheer. It's exciting. It's something worth expressing. That joy or that gladness. Well, he's overcome the world. We know who wins, folks. I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Yeah. We're on the winning side. We have our sins forgiven. Praise God, my sins are gone. And Acts 23, verse 11 says, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So he told Paul, you're going to go through some hard times, but be of good cheer. This is what you're supposed to go through. Hey, he's with us. He's with us. Our sins are forgiven. He's the one that wins, and he's with us. And we see that in Acts 27 and verses 21 through 25. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete.
And to have gained this harm and loss. So a little bit of I told you so right there. And he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. A little confidence there, huh? And whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He says it again. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Folks, we should be able to be of good cheer because we believe God. Listen, God said it, that settles it, that's good enough for me. I have a reason, I have a feeling of cheer within me that I can base my life upon. So if we're going to have a feeling of cheer, and that's going to resonate in us as believers, then we can begin to express by being lively in our cheer. That's what cheerful means. It's an expressive of good spirits or joy. It's being lively. Well, when I think of lively, I think of living. So first of all, we have a cheerful feeling. Now we have cheerful living. This is living out the cheer that is within us. We have a basis of it for because of forgiveness of sins and because of confidence in God. We believe God. We know who's going to win. We know He's going to be with us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He has given unto us eternal life. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to keep it. We don't have to work our way toward it. We have it now. That's a good reason to be cheerful. We have that cheer. Psalm 11, verse 7 says, For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Remember back in our text, it said a merry heart, we're going to use that as the feeling, maketh a cheerful countenance. That's going to be the living. The merry heart is the cheerful feeling. Cheerful countenance is the cheerful living. You know what a countenance is? It's how you look. Yeah, it's the look on your face. It's that body language, if you will. It's the outward expression of your inward condition. All right? If you're born again, you're saved, you have that joy of salvation, then let your face know. Yeah, let your face know. It's okay. Okay? I would have been a good model for the Cheshire Cat, right? Okay. Anyways, some of you don't know what it is. Okay. Anyways, I got to get on with this. Now, go to Psalm 21. Psalm 21. We need to let our face know what our heart feels. You say, but I don't feel very good. Well, I understand. But true joy transcends how we feel. Okay? It does. We can show a good countenance. Psalm 21, look at verse 2. It says, thou hast given him, this is about the king, of course, we're talking about David, thanksgiving and victory. He says, thou hast given him his heart's desire. And hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, and thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through his mercy, the Most High, he shall not be moved. You think David was showing out his joy and thankfulness and rejoicing in God, his salvation? He lived it out. What was one of the things that his one of his wives despised about him? That he danced before the Lord. David was not afraid to show out the cheer and the joy that he had in his life. You know what? We ought not to be ashamed of that either. In Psalm 89, verses 15 to 17, it says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted." In Proverbs 27, 17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You see, we have an opportunity. Do you notice that cheerfulness is a little bit contagious? And when we live it out, it kind of rubs off on other people. And on some, it rubs them the wrong way, which I'm actually excited about. So that works for me. Yeah. You know, morning people like to do that to people who aren't morning people. Who's not a morning person? Oh, there's a couple in here. All right. And don't you just love those people that first thing in the morning, they're just like, "Hi, how are you? Are you having a good day?" "Shut up. Go away. I haven't had my coffee yet." You know, right? You all know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. So that's what we have to work on. And I'm going to have Brother Frankie check on our little thing is blinking at me. I appreciate that. But we've got to work on cheerful living. Okay? Cheerful living. Living out the cheer, the feeling that we have in our heart. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Now, in Psalm 78, verses 3 through 7, says, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." We are to show them. Hey, why are some children grumpy? Because their parents are grumpy. Come on. It's true. Okay? Why are some children happy? Because their parents are happy, right? Now, that's not always the case. But where do children learn things? From their parents. Hey, guess what? If we don't teach them, somebody will. Somebody will. We have to teach them. Now, again, I have 11 children. 11 different personality blends and types. I understand that. Some of my children are naturally happy. Some of them, one of them being in the nursery, is naturally not. So we've had to work on her a little bit, okay? But you know what? It's cheerful living. It's showing it. It's living it out in our lives that we need to do. Now, Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12 says, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Again, David talking. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and be not silent, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. He's going to show it. He's not going to keep it all bottled up inside, which there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But don't you think the people of today in our lost and dark world need to see some cheer? They need to see that salvation is worth something. How would you like to be a mully grub Christian and nobody who wants to be? No, I don't want that salvation. There's always something wrong. They're always complaining. Nothing's ever right. And nothing's good enough. And I don't want. They love God. They have salvation. I don't want that. I don't want to be like them. I'm happy where I am. I don't want that. Well, we don't. We need to show them what change God has made in us. In Psalm 100, we've read this before, it says these things, these are living words, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Hey, that's cheerful living. Cheerful living. So a cheerful feeling, cheerful living, and then another thing that can help us to express our spirit of joy and being lively, and then the other word is being animated. Okay, now, I know nothing about being animated at all. And, of course, you know that's not true. I talk with my hands. I think if somebody tied my hands behind my back, I wouldn't be able to speak. You know anybody like that besides me? Okay, maybe some others. Okay, but I don't know what I would do if I was tied up like this. It'd be kind of difficult. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to try it for a minute. See how far I can make. I got to turn my Bible page. I can't do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You all tell I like to have a good time. Is that all right? It's probably not the normal character of a pastor, but Dr. Lassiter always said I was just a child in a man's body. So maybe that's true. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now you say this is a verse on stewardship and being a good manager of what God has given us. Yes, it is. Has God given you salvation and the joy of salvation and a feeling of cheer? Son, be of good cheer. Oh, so if we live it or animate it sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. And if we live it and share it and animate it bountifully, we shall reap it bountifully. Now again, application. Not primary interpretation, perhaps. But look what he says. He calls him a cheerful giver. Is giving an animation? It's doing something. Right? I'm giving something to you. It's being animated. So how about this? Cheerful feeling, cheerful living, and cheerful giving. Being cheerful. Hey, God doesn't want you to give because you have to. Not grudgingly. What would you consider grudgingly? Fine. Offering plate comes by. Let me see how I'm doing this week. Hey, I'm doing good. For the parks, I think it's the same $9 we had the other night. There you go, God. I gave you my tithe this week. Take it. Go ahead, take it. I don't need it. No, that's grudgingly. Okay? God doesn't want you to do it. He wants you to be a cheerful giver. Hey, it's funny. You know, we were just teasing a little bit, but Brother Parks had some money. I pulled out my money. I said, he goes, oh, I'll take that. I said, sure, have it. Why not? It's just money. You're going to give me some. Okay, here. Don't mind. I know where to get more. Yeah, from God. It's his. Just, I should be a good manager of it. But I shouldn't be attached to it. No, mine. Can't have it. No. That's not cheerful. He wants a cheerful giver. Someone who's willing to give. Somebody who wants to give. Who loves to give. Hey, we need to be a cheerful giver. Not just, I'm not talking just finances, but what about in everything?
in our lives.
Remember, we read about those in Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It said, "Moreover, the brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy," their what? Their joy, "and their deep poverty." How can you have joy in deep poverty? Well, you can. "Abounded unto the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing," right? Cheerful giver, "willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." This is amazing. That's cheerful giving. Cheerful giving. I told you about the little girl that the offering plate passed by and she didn't have any money. So she put it on the floor. She stepped inside and said, "What are you doing?" "I'm giving God me. That's all I have. It's all He wants. It's all He wants." A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is not one that gives grudgingly or of necessity. He says God loveth a cheerful giver. In verse 8 it says, "And God is able to make grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." This is animation. This is that cheerfulness that begins as a feeling and it comes out in your living, and then you're just animated about it. You're giving. You're giving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So folks, we can be cheerful in everything. You said, "But I lost my job. My grandma died of cancer. This happened, that happened." I understand there's times of sorrow. But why does that have to change if we're cheerful? Has God changed? Has He died? Has He gone off the scene? No. And listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be full of sorrow. Sorrowful. I hate that word. That's a real thing. I understand that. But isn't salvation a real thing? Isn't cheer a real thing? He said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven." We have cheer. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, we have an opportunity as believers to show to the generations to come the praises of our God. And we can do it through a cheerful countenance. You know, over in Romans 12, verse 8, it talks about being a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, right? And in verse 8, it says, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, but he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." We can do these things with cheerfulness in our life. We don't have to do it grudgingly or of necessity. It says, "For God loveth a cheerful giver." These things work together. It begins with that feeling that we receive through forgiveness of sins and salvation. It comes out in our living when the righteous live as God wants us to live in His countenance. And it continues when we're animated in giving cheerfully who we are, all that we are, all that we have. We're willing to give, just like the Macedonians, out of their deep poverty, with joy, gave of themselves. More than Paul ever hoped they would. We can be that. We can do that. It's called being cheerful.
It's a characteristic that maybe comes a little bit easier for some and a little bit harder for others, but we all can develop it. We all can develop it. And it can be something that we do each day to show to the generations to come the praises of our God.